Hiya everyone, it's Beverly Center here. I know you haven't seen me in a long, long time, but I came back tonight for a very special show. Because Rhonda is having two amazing women on. She's having Lydia Cornell and Judy Landis. And they're sex symbols, they're goddesses, they are of the 80s. Rhonda has always thought that she was a sex symbol and a goddess. In the meantime, I taught her everything she knows. Because my name is Beverly Center, and I was named after the great shopping mecca of the universe in Beverly Hills, Beverly Center. Therefore, my name is Beverly Center. So, you know, they always say that, you know, sex symbols, you know, are brilliant. It's not that they're brilliant. It's that they have chutzpah. They have chutzpah and they'll just show everything. They'll put it all on the table, whatever it takes. You have to caress it. You have to caress being a sex symbol. I know the tricks of the trades. Rhonda is still learning. She's a sex symbol in training. She's not even a sex symbol. She's just a big boob blonde. Let's just face it. Let's just call it what it is. In the meantime, you enjoy the show tonight. This is a very special guest on. I have to say, these women are truly bombshells and truly iconic and really taught a whole generation what it's like to be a beautiful, vivacious, fabulous sex symbol. In the meantime, I'll keep working on Rhonda and I'll get back to you from the original sex symbol right here. A little fur, a little diamonds, a little pearls. It's Beverly Center. See ya.
Stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Lab. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Lab.
Hi, all. I'm back, as you knew I would be, every Saturday night. I hope your guys are tuning into the YouTube channel, too, because I want you all to subscribe to Rhonda Shear TV on YouTube. I need 50,000 followers by, like, tomorrow. I want to thank Beverly Center for making an appearance. She doesn't know what she's talking about, but she showed up. So thanks, Bev. In the meantime, great to see you guys. I'm having so much fun with this show and more and more viewers every week and great guests. I mean, this week I'm truly privileged to have two great ladies from television in the 80s and 90s. They just stood out, and that would be Lydia Cornell and Judy Landers. Incredible gals who really have what it takes in terms of the brains and not just the beauty, but truly the brains to be able to play the characters that they played and sustain those characters. So they're still both doing their thing, and we're going to hear more from them in just a little tiny bit. Just want to, you know, I always like to do my little promo in the beginning. So first of all, we have our mask, and look, they're so cute. I have my Up All Night mask. It actually says USA Up All Night, and then you can get, so this is how you can buy these. You can go to rhondashear.com. Of course, you can pick up your panties and bras there as well, but you can also get one, two, or the best deal is four. And I think my guys will love these too. Look at this. Look at the little sexy girl. It goes with tonight's program. On the outside, they're black. They're lined in cotton. The outside's not cotton, but it gives you that, definitely that extra protection. They're so cute. So if you grew up loving USA Up All Night, my contribution to the bombshell era, then you will love these. So again, you can get one, you can get two, or you can get four is the best deal, and then you won't have to wash them as frequently. So go to rhondashear.com. Stay safe out there. We know more now than ever after this week that we're going to be wearing masks for a while, and we should. And we may, even after this thing is over with, who knows, maybe like we'll continue to do that, you know, because you see less people having the flu and other colds. I don't hear as many sneezes when I'm going out in the world a little bit. Actually, all I've been doing is going to the doctors to catch up on all my appointments that I didn't do in the last 6 months. But anyway, I am so excited. I'm going to just jump right into my first guest because I'm really excited to talk to her. I don't know her. I feel like we may have met in the 90s sometime. She's someone I really should have known during that time, but she probably just would have like intimidated the heck out of me. You know her because She starred in Too Close for Comfort from 1980 to 86 as Sarah Rush. She played the ditzy, big-busted blonde. But numerous shows that she guest starred on, including Love Boat, Charlie's Angels, The Drew Carey Show, Full House, Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard, A-Team, on and on, Hollywood Squares, and most recently, Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a really cool show to appear on, obviously. And what I love when I've been reading about Lydia online is that, I mean, she's a true advocate for women and children. And her great grandmother was Harriet Beecher Stowe. Lydia has been invited to contribute her writing. She writes and produces films, and she has a book coming out. I'll talk about that in a second. But she has been asked to contribute her writings to the International Museum of Peace, which houses letters from Nobel Peace Prize laureate Mother Teresa, Maya Angelou, and Sir Edmund Hillary. So, you know, I've been saying for years, and when I did stand-up and I wasn't accepted in the early days, they would go, "You're too sexy to be funny. You're too cute to be funny." It takes brains to be funny, and especially to sustain a character as long as Lydia did on television. A lot of brains, and she's got amazing degrees and comes from a family of music and education. Let me welcome Lydia Carnell. I can't wait to talk to
you. Oh, God. That was the sweetest intro. Thank you, Rhonda.
Oh my gosh, Lydia, you're as beautiful now. I mean, I, of course, watched you. I don't know why we didn't cross paths. Or at
Thank
least
so
maybe
much.
At a charity event, but you're just fabulous.
You and are beautiful. God, I've always wanted to meet you. I love you. You're hilarious. You're an entrepreneur. I admire everything you're doing. And I so love that intro. That was really over the top. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, I love about you and your background and your just everything that you did growing up is amazing. I mean, you have a lot. We'll talk about a lot, but I love the name of the book that you have, or you're writing and developing a comedy series from your upcoming book. The name is brilliant. Hiding My Brain in My Bra.
Hiding My Brain in My Bra. Yeah.
Brilliant name. You know what? I wrote a book, Up All Night, and I kept searching for that kind of name. And you, well, of course, you're a writer. You came right up for it. And you also have in the works a docuseries about female inventors and a reboot of Too Close for Comfort. I know you have a lot, so I'm going to get to some of the other things later. But tell me about the book and the documentary series. I mean, so have you invented things?
Yes, I have a bizarre comedy inventor. I invent things all the time. And I love what you're doing, but I came up with some fabrics that are unique. And it's in a clip of a movie I did. I shouldn't talk about it, but it's cantaloupe leather. Cantaloupe leather and avocado leather. And it's going to be a funny, I'm going to do the underbelly of Shark Tank, where you do 12 episodes of trying to get a crazy invention off the ground and everyone bets against you.
Yes.
But I've invented these aloe vera walls that sort of drape down over the house for fireproofing. And I'm going to deal with Homeland DHS on this. I have all these big silly things.
Like, not only do you invent, you know, because of what I do, I've done an infomercial, and we manufacture. My husband and I are in business together, so we get a lot of people that come to us because we live in St. Petersburg, Florida, and it's like the infomercial capital. So a lot of people come to us with products, and because I'm on HSN, I've mentored a lot of people with new inventions and new products. I'm always fascinated by inventions, but how would you come up? We're going to show a clip. We're going to actually show a clip in a second. But how did you come up with cantaloupe avocado leather?
Like, you can't. I'm crazy. I don't know. I made the boots for this movie I did because this character I created is inventing veggie leather to help the environment. And pretty soon I started developing it for real. And I started this show with two female. One is a NASA scientist. The other is a CalArts a robotics engineer. And they were helping me. And we got the show going, and then I went through a divorce at the time. I write comedy too, so I raised three boys and two dogs, including my husband, and they all went through puberty at the same time. But anyway,
I love that.
But you know, but I want to get this stuff going mainly because I want to help women inventors, and you would be a great host or co-host or
something. You know, that's what I love, helping women, because women help women, and women learn how to get things to the market. They're really afraid, and so that's actually, I'll speak in front of college, not right now obviously, but in front of students, like, you know, telling them how to get their product to market. That's what my book talks about. I gotta show this clip. What's the name of the film again?
Venus Conspiracy. It's a movie I made.
And okay, and we'll come back, but you've got to see this. Okay. I just watched it before the show. It's hysterical. This is the invention of the beginning of the invention of avocado / cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe food, yeah.
Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'll have the falafel with tabbouleh and hummus on a bagel.
Are you sure you want to mix Jewish with Arab?
Oh, then put the bagel on the side. I'll just have the check.
Cool boots.
Thanks. They're cantaloupe.
They're rotten, Lexi.
You can't say something nice, just don't comment.
Your boots are growing mold and
sprouts. Don't interrupt. I just don't want to forget my epiphany. Oh, yeah. If I transfer my thoughts and don't think about Jason at all, I won't feel like killing myself.
But it's good to process painful feelings. Don't hold it back. Breathe in the pain. Feel it all the way.
You're sadistic. Is that what you tell all your patients? A little happiness would ruin your business, wouldn't it?
So sue me.
Oh, the ending of that. The ending of that is I get kicked out of the restaurant because my boots are buzzing with fruit flies. And
and you wrote this film.
Yeah, I wrote this. I write comedy all day long. Every tragedy in my life. And I've had a lot of, you know, I turn it all to, I don't know how that happened.
Well, that's how that's what comedy is. That's what comedy
that's
is.
That's it. That's I it. Mean, you do, yeah.
It's taking, I mean, and you have to be very raw. And it's funny because the older I get, it's easier to write. You know, I did stand up for years, but I'm not doing it now, but it would be easier to write it, I think, because it just comes from life. But that is brilliant. Where can we see that film?
Well, that's the short, it's a 27-minute pilot. It's actually about rising above your problems, overcoming depression. The whole movie is about, but it's also about a plot to keep women thin and insecure. So I believe all human suffering is caused by Victoria's Secret. That was my motto for years, you know, and now it's true. But I wrote this movie about a true plot to keep us thin and insecure, a pharmaceutical mafia conspiracy where they own all the companies. And the big film is now going to be sold. That's the small pilot.
That is a great idea. I mean, talk about empowering women. And you're so right. I mean, I'm in the intimate apparel business and my whole business is about being inclusive. And I started 18 years ago, but now we're obviously, it's even more open because finally women are like feeling better about their bodies at all shapes and sizes. You go on Instagram, there's some very curvy women that are feeling really good about themselves. And you are so right. You're my whole life dieting and not feeling good about myself and not feeling, I mean, you know, it's funny because people go, oh, you can't say that because you did, but yes. And I do.
Yeah.
It was the pressure, especially in the time that you and I were both, or you know, started all of us. It was really tough, I think, in LA. It was the era of the jiggle.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Charlie's Angels era. And it's also the era that it was the man's era. I mean, I definitely had guys say, if you don't do this, you're banned from this town. Of course, I didn't do anything. Comedy got me through that, Lydia. Being funny, you know, because a guy's coming on to you and you start
you
know, making jokes, it turns them off. Like that's what I used.
Wait. Did you say telling jokes turn men off? Being funny? Oh my God.
In the time, even before I did stand up, you know, cracking a joke or being self-deprecating about myself when a guy was coming on. Now we're calling the Me Too era.
Right.
Like a guy's making a move and all of a sudden you're just making fun of him. it's like really, you know, they're moving in and they're like feeling they're all sexy. They're sexy. Yeah. They're hot. And you're like, you're making fun of them. I mean, maybe it didn't help my career, but it definitely got me out of some hairy situations.
Oh yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. I was really lucky.
That era was all about women.
All about it.
I mean, I'm not putting it down because I love that era and I love sexy and I love being a bombshell. I think you can be feminist and look gorgeous and sensual. You don't have to look as be a feminist. So I love that you are still doing your thing and you're still feminine and beautiful. And that's
thank you.
It is. It's completely boring, but the invention. Okay. So I mean, we have time. So there's so much before we get into some of your other things. So you invented this. I mean, so you actually thought like if you dried out like a cantaloupe.
Listen, I have a whole bunch of seamstresses making the prototype for the avocado leather motorcycle jacket. And I have an acrylic laminate that we're going to, you know, they can tan the hide of leather. You may as well do it with vegetables. Don't tell anybody. This is a secret. No, but I'm patenting it.
That is amazing. The fact that you're working with people that know this stuff, like, okay, so tell me about the thing that drips off the house and...
Oh, okay. Well, so I've been worrying about the wildfires, and God bless the people that have been suffering in wildfires. I cried so hard over the little boy that died two weeks ago in Oregon, Wyatt Tofty. But I'm thinking, I always had this idea because of the wildfires that there would be a mechanism on top of your roof, and it would just, you could press a button and it would drop this aloe vera. Okay, it's a fabric that's fireproof, and inside are gels and pockets of aloe vera, or a gel, a waterproof gel, a fireproof gel. I don't know why I think this would work. I think it will, but Homeland Security, DHS is already working on something like that. It's a Mylar blanket that falls over your house. Who knows? I would love to see this, even if I could get it going on the show.
I bet you're not, you're like me in that you don't sleep a lot of hours and your brain never shuts down.
But I sleep a lot. Lately, I've been having better hours of sleep because I just love watching. We're watching Prime Suspect, a lot of these serial killer murders. It's terrible to watch those.
I know.
But I was always against violence in my home. I never let my kids watch scary things. And I would never let them use the F word. And now I'm like, I can't wait to watch these murder mysteries because it keeps my mind off politics and everything else.
It does. No, it definitely does. How old are your children? I love that. How old are your son?
Well, my biological son, Jack, is 26.
Oh my God, I love
you, but he'll never call me. Teenagers are not nice people. He's not a teenager anymore, but he stopped being nice. Just kidding.
No, I get
when
it.
They, And then Kevin is 25. Oh my God. But they were the cutest boys in the world. Oh my God. I had such a blast raising kids.
Wow. And two boys. It's gotta be, well, I have stepchildren and step grandchildren. And when I got married, I didn't get married till much later, till 45, 46.
Oh, wow. Good.
And so they came as teenagers. So that was a challenge.
Yeah.
but they weren't living with us. I mean, we ended up having to move some, you know, just for business, because for business, we went through having just survive, my husband and I. But enough about that. I want to talk about you. I love that you're coming up with all of these ideas, because I love female entrepreneurs. And I love
you. I can't believe that you're like me, because I don't meet very, very many women who are interested in anything but looking pretty and just, you know, talking about gossip.
Oh, no. I threw a wig on because right now I'm like, I'm too lazy to do any, I'm not getting my nails done. I'm not doing that. I
need a wig. Where do you get a wig like that?
No, you do not need a wig. Your hair is beautiful. My hair is actually looking really good now because I haven't, I'm going to start wearing it. I've worn it a couple of times on air, but it's shoulder length. I know people are used to seeing me with like really long hair.
Yeah.
So, and this is just so easy because even if your hair looks terrible, you just pop
hair.
It off.
Wait, hair.
All right. Okay.
Don't you have a thing?
I have a little thing. Oh, I don't have the music. But anyway, I know all my viewers out there. That was my husband. Love this. They love the hair game. They've been doing it for a long, long time. Okay. I can't wait. When did Hiding My Brain in My Bra, which is a brilliant title.
Oh my God. Thank you. I've written the book Almost Too Funny. It's a series of the most hilarious Hollywood horror stories you could ever imagine of my real life. And they are self-deprecating. I don't gossip about other people as badly as about myself, but they're, you know, I mean, I came up with Tom Hanks
and we
used to tour the country when he had bosom buddies and I had Too Close for Comfort. We toured around America in a limo in first class. They flew us to different cities, Mount Rushmore. And I remember throwing a fit because we didn't get to go first class. I was such an asshole back then. I was really like the most diva, eating bonbons in a mink coat, hungover. And then my life changed. And I went to Jack Nicholson's house with Marlon Brando, all these crazy, funny stories.
I love that.
And not Me Too stuff, believe it or not. That kind of melded into the 80s where I didn't really notice it that much. I did not have the casting couch getting my series. I got the series on my own merits.
Oh, actually, no, I'm making of course.
A huge mistake. I made a big mistake and they loved it. And I thought a raspberry was an actual raspberry fruit. And they said, you don't know what a raspberry is? It's a Bronx chia. And they all went, and I went, and they thought, she's so naive. She's so green. Where are you from? What planet are you from? And I said, Texas. I think I said Texas. That's where I was from. So that But my Hollywood experience, I look back on it and I go, wow, that was fun. I had a million experiences that were crazy. Some very devastating ones as well. But on the other end of it, it seemed funny. So, somehow I twisted into humor.
I think the years that when you started, Hollywood was still kind of at the tail end of old Hollywood. Because, I mean, I'm 98, and you still had that. It was, I mean, yes, the big film companies, it was changing, but you still had a little taste of that, even in the restaurants that were still open. And
oh, yeah, Mamaison. Yeah.
You could go to the commissary and see stars or Ma Maison, the restaurant.
Ma Maison is still there.
Major stars there. I mean, so I know, I you know, it was pretty amazing as a young girl to see all of that. So I feel like we were in really good times. I would be afraid to be there now. I certainly wouldn't want to be starting out. I guess you wouldn't know, because you have to like have so many followers now. It used to be.
Well, here's the thing also, that you can't flirt anymore. And I'm pro women's rights completely.
Yes.
But I still kind of like the idea that you go to work and you can kind of flirt with somebody without feeling that they're attacking you.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Me too. That's exactly. Me too. I still flirt. I have flirted my way because it's actually, there's nothing the matter with it. It's so healthy. That would scare me.
I miss romance too. I miss romance and courtship. And now everybody's so raw and everyone's throwing their stuff out there too much.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Or women mystery. Now, younger women are like, if a guy calls them or tries to romance them a little bit, they actually get mad and they go, he's a stalker. he's just trying
guy.
To romance. He's like, I don't like him. He's called me 2 days in a row. I'm like, oh my gosh, we would sit there and never call a guy.
Well, that's right. Us.
So,
that's right.
It's very different. Wow. I love that you have the old school. Very similar. We should have met a million years ago.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe we didn't. But we're meant to meet now. I believe in
absolutely. No, maybe more now than ever, because we love the whole inventing, and I'll have to pull you into this whole
thing. Totally. God, I love it.
Sam would love you if you came up with something to fireproof a house, or that new leather, the new vegan leather, that if you really get hungry, you can eat it, because avocado.
lemon leather thigh-high boots. On the runway, I'm going to get them on the runway. The whole show is going to be about getting something on a runway or a product created, and these people bet against you, and you finally get it up and going. And
that's a great idea. That's a great idea, and it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. I have a lot of crazier things too.
Yeah, because so. I definitely think that Shark Tank is really serious.
Yeah, it's so serious. God.
And it's very, I mean, if you get on there, back in the day, they'd asked me to go on, and it was like, well, our product was already on the air, but they wanted to own you. They wanted to own your whole business. So it's like, I
really?
Think they loosened up on that a little bit, but okay. Oh, so good. Tell me about the reboot. Is that happening?
Okay. So I met with the producers a year ago. I had an idea. A college boyfriend came to me and he said, hey, why don't you guys do a reboot? And I thought, well, yeah, but Ted died. And then suddenly Roseanne was kicked off Roseanne's show. And I went, they're still continuing with that reboot. Yes. So Sarah, Jackie, and Monroe were going to have our own spinoff anyway years ago. And apparently there was a lot of weird stuff that happened with Metro Media, and Fox Network had our show in first run syndication. We were on opposite Magnum PI and Simon & Simon in the third year. And then ABC canceled us, and then Metro Media picked us up, and we were a super hit at that point.
Oh.
And Ted decided, and this is not very, I love Ted, but he got a little bit jealous of the girls having their own. Every time our show, we would have our own episode with just the girls.
It was a man's world back then.
Sarah and Jackie, Ted would get threatened by it, and he didn't want us to have our own show. It was kind of weird. I don't mean to say that, Ted. I love you.
But it was the era. It was just the era.
That's exactly. It was the era. And I remember one time I was on the set, and I was always creative. I've always been a creative child. Writing when I was a little girl. I wanted to be an astronaut and all that stuff. And they were looking for a funny joke, and Ted walks in with a pizza that had just cheese on it. And Monroe had already blown up the kitchen with meatballs, and there was nothing to find. And I said, why doesn't he stick a broom up and a meatball lands on the pizza, right? Oh. I said this out loud. All the writers, their eyes glazed over. And then a few minutes later, a male writer says, why don't we have a meatball fall on the pizza? And nobody heard me. And it's in the show. And I'm like, hello.
I get it. I mean, I get it, because I started writing stand-up, and I know – I mean, I knew when I was trying to get an agent, like in the 80s, for stand-up comedy, it was really hard. Yeah. You couldn't be funny and look a certain way. So I imagine, you know, coming up with a joke on a series, and you weren't a guy. I get it. I hope that's all in the book, because that's really important stuff.
Oh, it's all in the book. Yeah, a lot of funnier stuff that I know no one ever knows about, but I haven't told anyone about yet. Which will be. It's not a gossipy book. It's also about raising aliens, living with boys. And living with a Neanderthal and trying to get through life with men. It's really a fun book about just falling up. My whole life has been a series of falling up. That's like everything, you know, a lot of mistakes.
Your credits go on. Even your background, reading how you worked with, first of all, you graduated. I mean, you studied Russian, English, drama. You studied everything. And then you had a summer where you worked and you were like the house chick for bands.
Oh my God. Oh my God. College. I went to college in Boulder, Colorado, University of Colorado. And I earned my way through as a waitress in the Pancake House. I'll never forget. But the summer between junior and senior year, I got a job at Caribou Ranch. I was the head of the business school where we bring speakers in. And I brought in, I was so obsessed with Caribou. I was obsessed with rock and roll. And I wanted to meet the Eagles and Fogelberg and America, the band America.
Yeah.
And they were up at the ranch recording all the time. Elton John was up there, Billy Joel, the Stones. And I thought, this recording studio is somewhere in the mountains above Boulder. I'm going to go up and see if I can get in. I went with my girlfriend, and it was like a guard gate, like the White House. You can't get in. People with guns at the gate. So serendipitously, I believe in synchronicity.
Oh, I do too.
When your intention is clear. And so I suddenly invited, I had a brainstorm. I'm going to invite Barry Fay, the promoter, concert promoter from Denver, and Chuck Morris, who owned a club in Boulder called Tulagi's. I invited them to come speak. And we had this wonderful conference. And afterwards, they said, would you like to go to dinner with us with the owner of Caribou Ranch up at the Red Lion Inn? They invited me to dinner after the thing. And I went, yeah. So I'm sitting there up in the Red Lion Inn in the gorgeous mountains with the restaurant. And there's Jimmy Guercio, who was the manager of the band Chicago and the Beach Boys.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me and he said, would you like to come up to the ranch? Would you like to work up here, up there? And I went, yes. So I got a job and I rented an apartment above the bar at Netherland Pioneer Inn. Mm-hmm. And it was snowing during the time when I went up there for the first weekend. It was still snowing before the summer. And my first assignment was to pick Billy Joel up at the airport. So I picked him up in a big Chevy Suburban, and I had a horrible accident. I crashed the whole band into a snowbank. I crashed Billy Joel into a snowbank. I got fired, and Billy Joel fought for my job back, and then I got the job permanently, and I worked there all summer. I worked the whole summer as the kitchen girl.
That's a movie in itself.
Yeah, I picked up Joni Mitchell, Carole King, Neil Young's wife. It was, what's her name? Oh my God, I shouldn't remember her name. She's really cool. I met everybody. And then I kind of went out with Dennis Wilson a little bit. And
cool.
In America, Jerry Beckley. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
And then I ended up road managing Michael Murphy. He created a song called Wildfire.
Yes.
That was a crazy experience.
What an amazing experience for a young woman. But you have music in your family, like Prodigy, your late
my brother was a prodigy, yeah. And so my sister's a composer.
Your father too. So do you sing? Do you sing as well?
I'm the only one that missed that gene. I think I can carry a tune, but I definitely don't have the musical gene the way they had it. You know, I took piano, I don't remember how to play. But
I'm sorry. Your grandmother, your great grandmother. Your Stowe. When I read that, I was like, okay, if I look at my ancestry, I can't find anybody.
You're so sweet. My grandfather was Henry Ward Beecher Stowe. He died when he was 97, my mother's father. And God bless him. My mother's still living. My stepdad just died. But Henry Ward Beecher Stowe. So Harriet Beecher Stowe would be my great-grandmother.
I mean, so the writing gene just oozes from you. And you know what? You're going to get credit now because, first of all, time has stopped for you. I think I'm at the best I am, literally.
Me too.
So I know, and you're the most, I mean, I'm saying this for myself. I'm the most confident. Okay, so I have to ask you about this. So you have a mental health podcast. You have a lot of stuff. I'm going to just get to it all. But anyway, You're creating a show in your time off when you're alone.
About, it sounds like more than it is. You know how it is.
Uncanny coincidences and miracles called God shots based on hundreds of true life stories. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I've seen those. I mean, but I'm just saying, I've seen these little mini baby miracles in my, you know, you see them and you're like, where'd that come from? So tell me about that.
Well, I got sober in a catastrophic spiritual. I still drink delicious lemonade. And this is a vitamin C drink, by the way.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to have a little bit
more. I had a crash and burn and a spiritual awakening that was so profound in 1994. My baby was born in March 26, 1994. And in September 11th, 1994, I had an amazing experience. I walked into a meeting at the Good Shepherd Church and I surrendered my fear, worry, ego, edging God out or edging good out. Right. And I sort of just gave up this radioactive problem I had. I was kind of a radioactive drinker. I had a problem. And it was sort of a periodic thing. And all through the series, I never really noticed it. It wasn't that big a deal in the hiatus of the series. I bought a house in Bel Air. And I remember, God, all this I have to support and keep going.
Wow.
And the rat race of being a star, having to try to keep making it in Hollywood.
Yes.
And my values were screwed up. I was really trying to race against time and that whole thing with women. I hadn't found, it is true, you can find your soul in a pornographic world. I find Hollywood to be, you know.
It is.
Not exactly shallow, but at times extremely hollow.
Yeah, and beautiful saying. Absolutely.
At the same time, there are also great people there. The great creative people there. I love Steven Spielberg and a lot of great filmmakers. But I found everything here after my crash and burn, and it was just a miracle. I had a miracle that first day, but it was such a coincidence. And I tell it in my usual speaking at recovery meetings and stuff. And I told it to Grace Fraga, who's a good friend of mine.
Yes, who I love. I mean, Grace and I have a very interesting background through my niece. But anyway, I had
Oh, by the way, I want to say hi to Ruben Masariegos. I love Ruben.
Ruben.
Oh my God, I love Ruben.
He really put us together. He's amazing.
Yes, that's right. And he grew up with you, I think, or something.
He's a New Orleans guy, and he's just an amazing soul, and came to my book signing in New Orleans, and amazing. Yes,
he's the best. I love you, Ruben.
A huge heart.
He's got the best heart. He's one of my favorite people on earth. And anyway, it's a big catastrophic spiritual awakening. Something horrible happened the night before. I almost dropped my baby down the stairs in a blackout.
Oh my God.
I was, by the grace of surrender, I call it God, good orderly direction. It's not religious necessarily, but it is, to me at this point, the word God is really powerful because it's everything. It's the power of love.
I believe, everybody has their own, I believe.
Yeah,
there's I believe. Something out there that's charting our journey, you know?
And I felt like when I went into that first meeting, when I raised my hand, they said, are there any alcoholics present? I went, my hand shot up without my permission. And at that moment, a river of tears of 20 years of hell just fell off me.
Wow.
And I felt like I was lifted up. And then a series of uncanny coincidences that are mind-boggling. I call them God shots. They are so mind-boggling. There was no doubt that evidence, it's like the breadcrumb. Like Einstein said, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
But I really believe that. I mean, I also believe when you open yourself up and you put things out there, like people say, why are you saying that? It's ahead of time. It's like, because if you put it out there, things happen.
Oh, wow. I never thought of it that way.
I really think you do. I mean, I'm a positive. I am more of a glass half full person.
I love that.
I feel like if you put it out there, it happens in the universe. So.
I love that. I was hoarding my ideas for a while and I'd be like, why don't I just talk about them? Because they're on paper. Or they're in a lab.
You know what, Lydia, and I'll tell you my own personal experience with, you know, a bra that put my line on the map is called the A bra. You're going to get them.
I love your bra. Yeah.
Everybody who comes on the show gets a whole goodie bag. But But the opera became this incredible sensation. And I knew when I was in LA, and I wrote a little, of course, and some idea, you know, some pilot ideas, and you'd always register them, right? So you felt like you were protected because you were registered mm-hmm. with the Writers Guild. Okay, so the second this infomercial came out and it was doing great, all of a sudden people in the infomercial world, wait, my doggie, she can't see or hear.
Oh, she's so cute. I got
four more, but they're being quiet, so we'll leave them
alone. Oh, God, I love dogs. Ours is autistic.
There they are. Oh, there's a little shot of
my. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, they're so they have cute. To be your mommy. That's my little babies.
But, oh my God. I love dogs more than anything. Right now, we're just hoping our dog stays for a few more months.
Believe me, I've got some old ladies. Yeah. They're all ladies and they're all.
Yeah.
They're all old ladies. But I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking?
Sorry. Oh gosh.
What was I talking about? Whatever. It doesn't matter. But,
About synchronicity and putting your ideas out there.
Yeah. Oh.
The opera.
Well, thank you.
Home
shop. I'm telling you, it's I need that. Whatever that pill is that everybody takes on TV and their brain works. The second this infomercial hit the air and was kicking butt, I got knocked off. Literally, they knocked off my models. They stole footage from me. They stole my words. And it's not like Hollywood that you're protected. And they literally went to my manufacturer. It was a nightmare. And because they were so professional, I had done this. My husband and I were new to it. It was stealing from. I mean, I can't even tell you that. That was an amazing story.
Oh my God.
So what I tell people that are inventing now and entrepreneurs is that you can't stop that because it's really hard. Even with patents, they have ways around that.
Oh, really?
Which really sucks. I mean, you can bring them to court, but it takes forever. We're actually my husband and I are trying to help with a bill against some patent stuff because there's patent.
Thank you.
No, I'll tell you about that offline another time. And it just isn't long, but there's patent troll attorneys that all they do is they try to steal patents. But anyway, getting back to this. So these people stole, you know, my product or tried to. So I tell people, my advice is just get it out there. You be the first one to market. Don't worry about it because you know what? It's flattering if someone copies you, but there's only one Lydia, there's only one Rhonda. So if you get your product to market, they're not going to care about the next person. So sometimes it's good to put it out there in the universe.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. God, you're a godsend to me. Thank you so much.
I get being an entrepreneur because the title, part of the title in my book is Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist. With my husband, we started this business. So it's like things that I learned about business because I came from acting and comedy. So, but it all works together. So it will for you too. Okay. So
thank you.
After your spiritual waking, you said you started turning tragedy into comedy and now you mentor young people in recovery from depression and addiction, and you have a comedy, another thing you do in your time off, is comedy therapy series on YouTube.
Well, it's basically just the title of my YouTube channel because I end up always making everything funny no matter what I do. I try to be serious and it doesn't always work. So I give up. It's spiritual therapy comedy.
And I are so similar because I love levity. We need so much more levity in life. I mean, up about everything, and it's always something I handle the good and the bad times in my life. That always had to put a little humor into it. So this is another thing that I love that you're doing again. Is your Peach Couture picked up your Infinity mask, which you have pictures of, which I think is
thank you.
And so you can go to Peach Couture and get Lydia's collection, which is she's got this mask that literally is a scarf mask. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I wish I brought it on here to show you because it's over there. But anyway, I used to wear them all the time because mainly to hide your neck wrinkles, and it's like the infinity loop. By the way, the masks aren't that bad for women who don't want to have to show their lower skin.
No, I love the whole masking. I think that we should be doing this for a long time.
Even I do too. I love your masks.
It's pretty germy out there, like in airports and stuff. So I think it's a good practice. And just to stop.
The scarf mask goes around your neck and then it's an infinity loop. So you loop it around once and then you can pull it up and pull it. It's like an airline thing. You pull the sides down and it tightens the mask.
And it's pretty.
I have to find one for you. Yeah, it's really pretty. They come in all different colors. Yeah.
Okay. Now I know
before the end of the show, I'll get one
clip of Lydia, don't we? We don't. Oh, God, I thought we had another clip of you. Okay, so I love everything that you're doing. Wait, I have to find more.
Thank you.
We also have Judy Landers. I don't know if you know Judy.
I love Judy. Oh, by the way, Judy was next door to our show on the same soundstage.
Yes.
Doing Waylon and Madam.
Oh.
She was like this. And I love Audrey, too. I was a huge, big Audrey and Judy fan before I got my series. They were on TV before me, I think.
What's really funny is that I did not. I knew Judy a little bit, but she lives in Florida, and she is this happy, gorgeous.
Oh, I love her.
Like time stopped. Beautiful woman with grandchildren, and is just so happy. And she does things come to her. She does it, but she doesn't. Necessarily, she's got a lot of kids in the house, and I had to pre-tape her because she just couldn't do it at this time of night. But coming to you, you are amazing. I love your everything that you do for women and invention, and the fact that you're still acting and still out there. And I hope your reboot comes back. Paid off of hiding my brain in my bra. I hope you and I can collaborate. I'm serious, as entrepreneurs.
Me too.
Even if you even need advice or anything in that world, I've
definitely
walked some pretty crazy 18 years doing this now. And I get,
It
can be sometimes as crazy as Hollywood in the competitiveness. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same.
How did you do it? You're like this bra. I love your, I bought your bra a couple times. I bought it for gifts for people. It's like really comfortable. And I went, She's a genius. How'd you, I do want to talk to you.
In your series, you know, it was, you know, my late night series called Up All Night on USA Network for years. My late night show. Spent a lot of time in lingerie, being the over the top blonde, and I love apparel. And my husband and I got married. We were high school sweethearts, reunited, and he was living in Louisiana. I was living in Hollywood, and we had to do something together. So I said, I want to do intimate apparel, and so it started that way. And the rest is just a story. We didn't. I mean, I love design, and I love designing like you, but it was nothing I had done as a job, and I didn't major
in it.
Long story short, if you want to do something, you can make it happen. And I love telling people that because we got together because we loved each other and we had to survive because both of us had done really well in our independent lives. Mm-hmm. When we started over, it was kind of like starting over even financially. So it's pretty magical what you can do at any age. So that's
at any age. And it's just that we're always creative beings. If we put an age on it, we limit ourselves.
No,
you know,
I can give back more now. We love doing charity as I love everything that you're doing. I mean, I think it's phenomenal.
I love everything you're doing. I forgot. I have two.
We need to stay in touch. You, me, Braga, because she is an amazing soul as well.
I love her. Yes.
I have a tie to her through my niece. So it all comes full circle.
Oh my God. That's great. I'd like to have you on my show too. My God, Shots Pod.
I would love that. All right. Okay. I'm going to bring on, thank you so much for spending time.
I love you.
Can we talk offline and become friends?
I'd love to be your friend. You're like the first woman I'm excited to meet that I've been dying to meet for years. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm down to earth.
You're so down to earth. We've been there and back. I get it. I congratulate you on everything. Much love to you. Much continued success. And
thank you.
You're gorgeous. And my fans are loving you. Thank you. Lydia Cornell. I mean, what an interesting interview and what an interesting lady. Gosh, time has stopped. Okay, so because we should just go to Miss Judy, right? Because yes. Okay, I forgot. Okay, so sometimes we run some bits, but I had to talk to Lydia for as long as humanly possible because she's just totally amazing to me, and I know she was to you guys. Thank you for all your comments. I keep them coming. So we didn't get to Professor Cocktail, and we always have to bring on the professor sometime during the show. So let's bring on my crazy best friend who has a new hairdo. You'll notice, Professor Cocktail.
Professor Cocktail. Grasshopper, my tie, a shot that tastes like apple pie. Professor Cocktail. Tom Collins, whiskey sour, a fruity drink with a giant flower.
This is Professor Cocktail, and I'm here for another episode of Let's Get Drunk and Have a Drink. Today, we're going to do a special drink called a Screaming Orgasm. Woo! Okay, this is a difficult drink to make because there's lots of stuff you put in it. So you do the dry shaker, And you do little jiggers of everything. Equal parts, okay? So here you do your Grey Goose. It says just one, but we're gonna do two. Because it's Grey Goose. Okay? Do a little bit more. Okay. Next on our list, it's coffee liqueur. That's gonna give it a little zippy taste. Okay. This is one of those drinks that talks to you when you drink it. And I'm gonna listen up good here. Get a little bit of your amaretto. Some Irish cream. This is the best. You gotta have something creamy in an orgasm, okay? Here's my milk. This is Professor Cocktail's extra, because you know, you can't have an orgasm without a little wetty rip. Ready whip. Or a wetty rip. Who cares? So just, oh boy. Oh wait. Ooh, I got a buzz, I think. Oh boy. Okay. Then you mix it up. Just round and around and around. And around and around and around. And then you add your ice. And then you shake like hell. Okay, watch this. There we go. And then you know, like I said, gotta have a little wetty rip. And to top things off, a little dusting of cocoa powder. Just like that. Isn't that pretty? Now. What? Oh! I hear an orgasm! Right there! There's your screaming orgasm right there. Thanks for coming.
Pink lady, Cosmo baby, gonna make the drink and don't mean maybe.
Professor Cocktail.
Old fashioned gin and juice, mix it with Red Bull to get a boost.
Professor Cocktail.
Professor Cocktail, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as Lydia said, a little levity in our lives makes us so happy. His drink talks to him. What can I say? Whatever works. Anyway, we're going to go to a little videotape right now because my next guest, we pre-taped because of the time of day. And I am so excited to introduce a tape of the fabulous, incredible Judy Landers. And I'll see you after this. Enjoy.
Hi. Charlene couldn't make it. So your boyfriend's in town, and she said he's the jealous type, so she sent me. She said you wouldn't mind.
I don't mind.
My name's Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Made you breakfast.
Good, Angie. That's good.
Crystal's looking for a bodyguard, and since your liability insurance premiums are due tomorrow, and so are the bond premiums, and since I put the checks in the mail, which you got to cover, I suggest you call him back. Earn some money, honey.
Do you like the bacon?
Oh, the bacon was very good. Listen,
Really?
Yeah, really. Call Irma at the water company. And
Irma?
Irma.
Okay.
At the water company.
I-R-M-A.
Okay. Right, at the water companies. And see if a Larry Johnson gets a water bill, and if so, at what address.
Okay.
You do know how to use a phone and a tape deck.
Oh, sure. Charlene briefed me on everything.
Everything?
Sure. Isn't it exciting?
I am so excited to introduce my next guest. You know her from television shows where she was a regular, like BJ and the Bear in Vegas. She appeared and guest starred on many shows like Happy Days, Johnny Carson had her on, The Love Boat, so many shows that we all love, Madam's Place, L.A. Law, The Jeffersons, Charlie's Angels, the most glamorous girl, the most amazing bombshell. And she also went to Juilliard and the Academy of Dramatic Arts. And, you know, to play a bombshell and to play comedic, you have to be really, really smart to play, you know, that kind of naive role. So I'd like to introduce my friend and gorgeous grandmother, may I say, Judy Landers. Let's bring her on. Yay.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to be here. Oh,
Judy, you just get more beautiful.
But thank you for saying it. That's really nice.
Listen, I have followed you. I feel like I know you even more so because I followed you, obviously, in L.A., and I think you're a few years younger than me, but still, you know, we were out there at the same time navigating through Hollywood.
I feel like we're friends because of Facebook. And
I know.
So,
and we need friends. And we need to be. I think, you know, Judy Landers and Audrey Landers, her sister, I feel like I knew you guys both because in the audition process, and you know, that would say, Judy got the role, Audrey got it. I think I was like right there. I was like right there wanting to do some of those sexy roles, and you girls were like getting all the parts, but
well, I'm sure there were plenty that you got. I'm sure.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm not complaining. I had a lovely, lovely, very, you know, I worked as an actress for 26 years out in Los Angeles, which was a blessing. And but your career is just so amazing to me, along with the fact that your mom, who still looks 21 as well. She was your manager along with your sister, right?
Yes.
So what was that like to work with your mom? I mean, was she tough on you guys or wonderful?
Wonderful to work with my mom. She was a great manager and a great businesswoman, and she was lots of fun all the time, and she was really good at what she did.
And you guys, you were born though in Philadelphia or New York? Or
Philadelphia, then New York, and then LA.
So. That is amazing. So did you guys wanted the career? I get asked this because my mom, I was a pageant. So I always get asked, did your mom
want a pageant girl?
Yes. Yes.
My daughter Christy.
Oh, your daughter Christy was in the Miss USA pageant. She went much further. Uh-huh. But I was in the Miss USA as Miss Louisiana, so that was my background. But I always got asked, was your mom the stage? So was your mom, did your mom want the career for you guys, or did you guys want it and she just was like, okay, I'm there for you?
Definitely I wanted it, and I asked her to manage me when I was like a teenager.
That's cool.
I wanted to do it. So I asked her and she said, absolutely. And then it was a great business back then. It's a little bit more corrupt now than it was.
You know what? It was, even though I know that you married very young. I didn't realize that until I was looking at your bio. Tell me a little bit how you met your beautiful husband. I mean, you guys make the most beautiful children. I hear the baby. I'm going to get to that. There's so many things I want to ask you about. So how did you meet your husband? And you have to say your last name because I cannot pronounce it properly. You're married.
Judy Landers Niedenfuhr.
Niedenfuhr. I love that.
I can never pronounce it. he was playing for the Dodgers at the time when we met. And we actually met when he was playing for the Dodgers. And then we went our separate ways for a little while. And then I met him again when his lawyer introduced us. And then we got married a year later. And after he had won the World Series with the Dodgers, and
Do you know, Judy, I lost track of you during that time. I didn't realize it because there's no doubt, and being married, you probably had less of this than I did. We had our Me Too movements, and I'm sure you had to navigate through that as well, even with your mom.
Sorry, we can talk about that another time.
And I'm not going into it at all. I'm just saying that it was different because the roles for women were different. Because they were sexier. I mean, now I like that we could play sexy feminine roles. Now I feel like those days are gone. Like, no. I feel like I couldn't. I mean, I love comedy and I like the sexier and I like the flirtiness. And I feel like in Hollywood, those wonderful days are gone. No, and I navigated my ways being single through those moments of a little too handsy by being funny in real life. Like, no one wants a girl that's being funny. If no one wants, a guy doesn't want you to be making passes and you're like making fun of him, you know? So the comedy thing
works. There's a difference, you know, between making fun and then like laughing it off.
Right. And exactly. Laughing it off.
Instead of like accusing someone and getting them arrested. You know, you can like laugh it off and say, no,
thanks,
I'm not into that.
You're saying very similar to what downtown Julie Brown, who was kind of at the same time, told me, you know, you just don't take meetings at 2 o'clock in the morning at hotel rooms. It was easy to say no. It's just as easy to say no as anything else. Easier to say no.
Yeah, no, of course there are cases when they couldn't say no. And, you know, that's just right. Terrific and wrong. But
right.
Some cases when you can just like say no or not go to a man's hotel room.
Right. Exactly. I love our days. I feel like we were there kind of at the end of old Hollywood. We still saw a little bit of that. You went through the casting process. Now everything's on tape. You send it in. It's a different world out there. And
I liked it better the way it was for the most part.
I agree. So, okay, so I got to get to this part because you are an amazing mom of two gorgeous daughters who I've been watching on Facebook and watching your daughter who then, you know, went all the way to Miss USA and major modeling. And then they both got married, I feel, rather young, and you're a grandmother now. Well, so I have a feeling that's the greatest role of your life.
Absolutely. In my life right now, I set the bar really high at being a mom, grandmother, a wife, and a friend. That's the most important thing to me, and I love that.
You know what? I am right with you, and I didn't get married till I was 46. I reunited with my junior high school sweetheart. Was not looking for that. I was in LA. He came out of nowhere, and I enjoyed this role. Yeah, my first kiss. He found me back 20 years ago now on classmates.com, and he was just so unique and different than all the guys I dated in LA. And so it was, you know, we got married in 15 days, but getting that. Yeah, we got married. That's okay. I love all the puppies. I love that
your doggies are barking.
No, it's okay. Mine are there. They're looking for the dog.
Why so, are your dogs so good?
What?
Why are they so quiet?
I don't know. They're confused. They're looking to see where's that bark from? But you know, you and I are similar in that. You know, we played the sexy roles, mm-hmm. and yet we love the role, I think, of being very traditional and being a wife and a good friend and a loving mother and grandmom and puppy mommy, yep, as well. I mean, do you think that's your upbringing and your mom and from your family that's where you got that?
I think that is. My mom is very maternal and nurturing. Leonardo, come here.
I love Leonardo. I love that Leonardo's right there. So your mom, so your daughters, though, you never pushed Christy and Lindsay into acting or anything. You just let them make their decisions. They're so spectacularly gorgeous.
I didn't. They had a band for a while, and they were into writing music, and they were really good at it. And they had a little bit of success in that, and they got on. They went toward Japan and then were all over America. They played at, their band was like the house band at the Playboy Mansion for a while.
Wow.
And I went with them and it was really lots of fun.
When I see a picture of you and your daughters together on Facebook, I save the pictures. I mean, I know you are beautiful from the inside now, and I know that from everything I read and all that you do. But you guys are so spectacularly beautiful. It's hard to take. I send your pictures around. I'm like, look at this family. I have never seen, I mean, your husband's so good looking, but you also made your daughters so good because I've talked to them on Facebook as well on the inside. And they're such sweet women. And they're, you know, they've got their heads straight. So I congratulate you as a mother.
I'm so blessed with my daughters and my grandchildren. I feel very blessed.
And they all live there. So I know you live in Florida. And so everybody lives there. Like nobody moved across the country. So you've got your whole family close by.
We left LA and my sister and my mom and I all moved here to Sarasota. And then one daughter lives like 5 minutes, the other lives like 7 minutes from me. and my mom lives on the next block, and my sister lives 10 minutes away.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't sure about your sister. I wasn't sure if she lived in Florida or somewhere else. My gosh. So what brought you here? I mean, did Tom have family here, or did you all just decide we're moving to another place?
Well, no, his family lives in Seattle, and we see them fairly often, and they're wonderful. They're great people, and I love them. And when we decided to leave L.A., it was just getting a little bit crowded, and I wanted a more gentle environment to raise my children. So he said, you can pick any place where it's warm and the ground doesn't shake. So I like those earthquakes.
Wow. So were you the ringleader in this and making that happen, and everybody followed suit?
Yeah, because we were doing a children's television show at the time called The Hugabug Club, and they invited us to perform at the Van Wezel here.
Yes.
So we did the live show there, and my sister and I were driving, and we just looked at each other and said, let's move here. And it was just like, click, you know, we both wanted to move here.
That's amazing. So when you moved, what year did you guys move?
I can't remember. I think it was like in the late 90s.
The late 90s. Wow.
The early 2000s, yeah.
So, I mean, so when you moved here, you didn't look back or keep a place in LA. You just decided you wanted a place for your children.
LA for a little while,
right?
Went back fairly frequently, and then I got less and less. And we actually love it here. I prefer this to LA.
You know what? I do too. And so we moved here, Judy, for Home Shopping Network. I have a line of women's apparel, and so we moved for business.
Well, first of all, can I interrupt you? I love your lingerie.
Thank you.
I love it. It's my favorite. Those 90s that you have, the butter soft ones.
Yes, thank you. Well, I want to keep all of the Landers girls in their underwear. So I will continue to send your daughters, your mom. I need to get your mom five.
My sister.
And your sister. I didn't realize she was close, but, you know, we'll talk. Marie will get everybody's sizes. And I would love the just for private picture. I know I won't put it anywhere, but.
Yes, it's because it's so comfortable, but you still feel sexy.
Oh, thank you. I love the nightgown that you love. It's very sexy, and it holds the girl. All there, everything has a little trick that it's like a little built-in bra, you know. So it's modest, but it's pretty at the same time. I'm so honored that you guys love it. You guys are like the class. I love that you were the ringleader, though, and got everybody. You know, you know, you're the sister. You played, you know, the more naive, wide-eyed looks. But in the meantime, you're running the family. And got everybody out here. By the way, I love Florida too. So when we first moved here, I was like, I'm never going to be able to get over LA. And we love it here. And we moved here because the business, Home Shopping Network, is in St. Pete, but it's the same thing. It's gentle, it's sweeter, people are nice. We're on the water. That was another big thing for us. My husband and I love the water. So, but you know, Oh, I love that big bark from that little dog. So I'm just going to ask you a little bit about your showbiz stuff, because I know everybody knows. So you were regular on BJ and the Bears, right?
Yes.
And also Vegas.
Were those your, Vegas was my first thing, yeah.
Vegas was the first thing. And then I can't remember the Vegas role. I remember BJ and the Bear. I mean, I remember Okay. I love it. Our dogs are looking. My dogs are coming.
Leo.
Okay, you can hear so I can pick you up. Here you go. Okay, Leo's. He's probably seeing my dog. They're all seeing each other. So just tell us some, give us some good fun. You know, I know my fans are going to go crazy that you're on. So, some of your favorite moments, some of the favorite shows?
On BJ and the Bear, that was a really fun show to do. And I played the role of Stax, who was a lady truck driver. And I felt the need to prove myself. So I learned how to actually drive the 18-wheeler, and I really did. So at lunch, one of the drivers would take me on the truck, and we'd go around, and I learned to drive it.
That's amazing. Doesn't surprise me.
I'm just thinking about something because it's coming back to me, a flashback, because I told the story on Johnny Carson a long time ago.
I love that
story, but Yeah.
Wasn't he great? Wasn't Carson great? Did you love?
What a wonderful man.
I mean, just to be on his show, I think it was an honor. I did a sketch on a show. I think, you know, yeah, I did a sketch. And then the last year, Up All Night, I think we probably would have got, I might have been invited on, but he was, you know, it was like the last year. So they were putting on all the big, big names and the favorite people that he had through the years. But I was honored to do that show and meet some of the stars. Any favorite, even some of the old timer stars that you got to work with that you were on? You know, I know I was honored to work with Bob Hope, and you probably did a Bob Hope special or two.
I did a Bob Hope special and David Burt Reynolds for a while. And that was
that's cool.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Great guy. I worked with him in a World Wrestling Federation bit. You know, we did some sketches and he was so sweet. So okay, what else? I'm looking at some of the other things because I didn't know that you went to Juilliard, but so all of you all sing, right? The whole family sings?
Everybody sings.
So I mean, I remember that vaguely.
I love it.
Do you have your grandchildren singing too?
No.
Not yet.
We don't want them to go into.
So wait, so you have, you've got three. Is that there's one little girl and two boys? Is that what it is? Oh my gosh. So they're like, your mother must be flipping over the boys because all these years there's just been a lot of girls around.
Yes, she loves being a great grandmother.
This
pandemic thing, we get to see her like, I guess about every week. Maybe
yes.
Sometimes in the week she'll drive by, but you know it's hard because she's in an older age group.
Right, right.
We can't really see her that much.
I know. Well, even with your daughters, are you seeing your daughters right now?
Yes.
Because they're in the same bubble. Because that's how we are. We have a few people in our bubble that we're seeing. Yes. Other than that,
there's my husband and my daughters and my grandchildren.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I know. You wouldn't be happy if you didn't have that bubble.
Oh gosh, I wouldn't at all. That would be terrible.
So do you miss show business at all, or you just love this role even more so? I mean, look at you. You're so glamorous. I mean, you are the quintessential Hollywood star, and you look like one and will always look like one. But and act like one. But no missing of those days at all.
No, I don't miss it at all. I mean, recently I did a movie that'll probably come up to Netflix within the next few months called Manipulated.
Cool. Manipulated.
And it's with Chase Masterson from Star Trek, and Tracy Lords is in it, and Greg Evigan, and a lot of other great actors.
Well, you know what? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's great when they come to you because it's not like you're looking for the work. You know, when you're in LA, you're kind of hustling for the work. But then when they come to you, it's really nice. It's like, okay, I have my life. I don't have to worry about this, but I'll do a part. If it drops in my doorstep, yes, I'm happy.
That's what this was. Because I don't want to be, acting is a lot of fun and it was wonderful, but I have other things I enjoy.
I get it. And tell me about your animals, because I have a love of animals too. Do you work with rescues, or do you?
We haven't this year, but we used to do every year a benefit for Satchel's Last Resort.
Yeah.
And that's it's a fantastic animal shelter that will not turn away any animal. It's a no-kill shelter, and if the animal can't be adopted, then they will just keep it there to live its life there, and run by volunteers, and just such a great place.
Well, and the next time you do that and we open up a little bit more, please keep me in mind for that, because I work with SPCA. I do I do all the charities. I've got three of them that are adopted. So the animals, they're my babies. So, I mean, I have two stepchildren and how many do we have now? Six grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness.
They live in Louisiana, so we don't see them as much. One of them reached out today about New Year's Eve. I'm like, okay, we'll have to work that out. But my stepdaughter has five and just had twins not that long ago, and my stepson had one. Yes. So I can't, my husband came with a ready-made family, and I came with some jewelry, so he lucked out.
That is perfect.
It was perfect. I didn't have to, you know, now it's not easy giving birth to dogs. Those paws are really hard on the figure. Oh, But anyway, I read about the Hugabug Club. So you guys do that. Your sister has children too?
My sister has two boys.
So she has twins. Wow. So how old are the twins?
They're in their late 20s.
Oh, they're in their late 20s. Cool. So when you did the Hugabug Club, both of you all had children. Your kids were younger. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
That was a lot of fun. I brought my kids with me. And it was a fun time.
Yeah, especially during children's programming. You know, it's very special and close to your heart, I'm sure. And your mom was
involved. We wrote all the music for it, my sister and I. And we wrote the scripts as well.
Wow.
It aired on PBS for a while here, locally in Florida, I believe. And now I don't think it's airing anymore.
Oh, we'll find it somewhere. I know you've been on countless magazine covers, and I'm saying this because I want to make sure that we put the pictures up, in post. Playboy magazine, Fully Clothed in Playboy, yes. Shape magazine, TV Guide, Vegas poster, Armed and Dangerous. I mean, you've done so much. You were in the film Stewardess. You were on the cover of TV Guide. And you just goes on. So, and your wedding. I love that. We have to find your wedding picture from 1986. World Series winning pitcher. He was the winning pitcher. And it's a winning picture. But so was Tom always supportive of your career and not jealous?
No, he was never jealous. Not at all. We had a lot of things in common as far as both wanted a family. When we got married, we just clicked, you know. And in those days, people did not see a lot of athletes and actors getting married.
No, no.
Very common. But then it was rare. They used to compare us to Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, I love that.
Because there were so few. And we gave each other space and respect. And
you look so happy, Judy. I mean, you really do. You it just comes out of you, and I see that. And I love, you know, I feel like I'm blessed, and I feel like you're very blessed to have this beautiful family around you, and life has been really good to you. You know, I wish you continued health success. We love having you on. And I want to stay in touch with you even after this craziness. Let's hope for it to go by quickly. It's been a crazy 2020. But I know you and I have a lot in common, and I know you live close. So I would love for us to have dinner and our husbands. I think our husbands would get along perfectly.
I think so too.
Does Tom play golf? Is he a golfer?
Yes, he plays golf every day. Or 5 days a week.
Okay, well, Van's a really good golfer, so maybe things will turn around and we'll be able to do what girls do, and we can play with the kids and the dogs.
Yeah, let's plan on it.
Let's plan on it. Well, thank you for taking the time out. You look gorgeous, and I'm definitely going to get all of the sizes so I can have the entire Lander family except for Tom. But I do want the dog. I want the dog.
He loves those
90s. Oh, I bet. That's nice. It's nice to keep the romance up. Yes. Well, I love you, and we'll talk very soon. Give my love to you.
So great seeing you. Love you. God bless.
Thank you. You too, baby. God bless. Judy Landers, ladies and gentlemen, she's as beautiful now as she was, and so exciting to have her on. Truly an icon of the 80s and 90s, and now a happily married mom and grandma. We'll be back after this.
Comfort, support, confidence. That's what you'll find at RhondaShear.com. Shop award-winning intimates, shaping, and apparel in sizes extra small through 3X.
What a great show. Thank you guys for all of your comments. Some really great comments. And some of the comments you all made were both Lydia and Judy are very charitable and give of themselves and of their time. And what amazing women they have become. You know, it's so funny. And I wanted to start the show by saying some of these things, but, you know, there's such a perception, and I got it. I mean, they were much bigger and were regular on you know, regular network television. But I got a little taste of that. But it's amazing that the blondes got like such a bad rap. But the brilliance, I mean, I know Suzanne Somers, and, you know, she's an entrepreneur. Christina Applegate has gone on. I mean, we all know that Marilyn Monroe had a lot more going on than, you know, than She was a serious actress. Carol Wayne, I'm going to show a clip that I did with Carol years ago, but it takes a lot of intelligence to be able to pull off the characters of as the dim-witted look. And I mean, you don't see as many of those characters anymore, as we were saying earlier, because you can't flirt. I mean, everything has become so stoic, and I would love to see a little bit more opening and more open to being flirty and flirtatious. And it was, you see these women have gone on to do amazing things, have great families, just old fashioned values, and continue to do amazing things for their communities and as Lydia's doing things for young ladies and young, you know, people all over the country on her YouTube channel. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I understand, you know, what they did and what they went through in that time. And I'm so glad to see that they're just so happy and so vibrant and look so amazing and are happy in their lives. And I'm happy doing this every Saturday night. So I hope you tune in again next Saturday night. You can find us on RhondaShearSocialHour.com. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, which is RhondaShearTV.com. Please subscribe. It's free. You just hit the subscribe button and you're part of it. And I need 50,000 followers like tomorrow. And you can also find us on Twitter. And we're also a podcast. So where we take the audio from the show and you can listen to this show, you know, wherever, podcasts, everywhere. iHeartRadio, every place. So anyway, thank you again. It's been a great night. You'll see all of our cast of characters next week, Professor Cocktail, Beverly Center. In the meantime, love, stay safe, stay healthy, get a mask, wear a mask, and love you guys. Love and sizzle kisses. Nighty-night.
Stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shear Show.